The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this February 1st, which happens to be the Lunar New Year, 2022. And tonight we have, being Tuesday night, we have none other than the mighty Andrew on the board behind the controls. Andrew. Andy.
Good evening, Pastor.
There he is. I knew he was there. I woke you up, didn't I?
A little bit.
All right, I figured. All right, and way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the Parson Joe Larson.
Yeah, and once more, that highly unpaid professional assistant is still with you.
Hey, do you know tomorrow?
Me that easy.
Do you know what tomorrow is? Don't you?
The second.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's also Groundhog Day.
And, Groundhog Day, I know.
I hear you folks there in Missouri. That's a big celebration.
Well, there's some sad news there. The Milltown Mill, groundhog there in New Jersey, died today, and they won't have Groundhog Day tomorrow in New Jersey because Milton didn't make it.
Wow, that is something,
huh? He's one of the six groundhogs that they celebrate, and he's actually got Milltown Mill's got a better track record than Punxsutawney Phil, who's only been right about 39% of the time, so... There you have it, top of the news, folks.
There you go, folks. You probably just learned more about groundhogs than you really wanted to know. Okay. All righty, there you go. But now, but I do have, we have a prayer request. I found out that one of the ladies in our church, a wonderful lady who's a dear lady, her brother took the shot and now has blood clots. And so, Joe, would you offer up a prayer for Claudia's brother?
All right. He's got that.
He's got a very serious blood clot, you know.
Okay, very big and serious. Folks, join me in prayer. The more of us that pray from the heart, the more God hears, the more he likes it. And it's one of those things we will all be needing prayer someday, I guarantee you. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know Claudia or her brother, but when somebody calls in and something serious like major blood clots or a large clot, whichever it is, extremely dangerous, and it's the kind of situation that the doctors do their best, but sometimes there's a lot of problems. So, Lord, we would just lift him up to you that... You would, the great physician would intercede, that you would help dispel the clot or clots, that you would bring healing and make a wonderful witness to your power and your glory out of him, if, and we know to ask, if it be thy will. So when people call in, loved ones, Lord, you've told us to bring everything to you in prayer. And we are doing that tonight with many, many people praying for Claudia's brother. And we just ask that you wrap your arms around him, be with the family, and just promote that wonderful, wonderful healing power of yours. In Jesus' precious name, Lord. Amen.
All right. Today, you know, last night, I found out last night at 5 o'clock, my dear friend for many, many, for a long, long time, Joe Clark had passed away, gone home to be with the Lord. And I still don't have many of the details. I did get the name of the funeral home, but that's about it for now. But then I found out today that another dear friend of mine passed away, William Salem. And so it's just unbelievable, Joe. And, you know, you've had, in the past 6 weeks, seven good friends of mine just died, you know. And it looks, it really does. Now, I'm not the only one that's looking at this. I've been hearing some other pastors saying how that they've been noticing that it seems like, Joe, that the Lord is taking a lot of these saints home before things get really, really bad here. I don't know. I mean, that's the way I feel.
Whether it's true or it's a feeling or it just seems that way, or we're just getting very old, and so all of our friends are in that same age where they're very old and getting weaker, I don't know. But it does make you really stop and think about where you're going to spend eternity, whether you're saved, born again, and you and I know where we're going to wake up when we die. We're going to wake up with Jesus, and I fail to see the downside there.
Well, you know what? What the truly elect can never accept, and that's one some of the things we've been talking about, and one of the things we can never accept is that there's more than one way to get to heaven. And so let's start tonight in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Joe, why don't you read all the way through verse 28?
All right. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go there at, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Let's go back to verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate. That word straight, that's an old word for what? It's one of the old English words for narrow, narrow.
Narrow, yes.
And for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, that means a narrow, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there find it. Now, when he's saying narrow, that means there's not a whole lot of ways of getting there, is there?
No. It kind of narrows it down, to use a bad word.
It narrows it down to one way. Okay, some might say, well, that's the bad news. There's only one way. But the good news is God did. You're right.
Great news, not just good news. That's the great news, the blessed news, that there is a way. Otherwise, we're all doomed, right?
Right. And so those people say, well, you know, I don't choose to believe that. Now, usually when you hear somebody say that, they're parroting what they've heard somebody else say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people parrot things, say things, and then you say, well, do you know why you just said what you said? And they'll kind of look at you with a strange look on their face because they really don't know, for the most part.
They heard it, but they can't quote the source.
Right. You're parroting something that you heard somebody else say, and I've seen this so many times. So now here, he goes on from there. Now he makes a point, and the point is, look, there's one way only to heaven. And bad news is only a few find it. The vast majority of people are not going to find it. The vast majority of people are going to go to hell. That's what he's telling you here. Now, you say, well, boy, that's not good news. No.
It's the truth.
It's the truth, right. So then he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, and every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Now, you've heard of this guy, Jesse Duplantis.
Yes.
Now, Jesse Duplantis, I mean, some people, and he really knows how to find the gullible people out there. I mean, he really knows how to find them. I mean, here's a guy, and we have a DVD of him, and he's there, and he's speaking to these gullible people and the other prosperity people that are drawn out there because their ears are tickled. And see, these prosperity preachers and the apostates will tell people what they want to hear. They know, and what they'll do is they'll literally send out questionnaires, Joe, asking people what do they want to hear preached. And then
they're not even, we call them preachers, we should call them prosperity false prophets.
Yeah, well, they are false prophets. But anyhow, there's always been false prophets, but today they're more than ever, I believe. And so what happens? You'll notice something about them, like you know, that's Jesse Duplantis, Joe. He was actually saying, and I heard him say it, that God calls on him for advice. No, I'm not
That's
kidding you.
The biggest ego I've ever heard in my life. God asked him for advice. Right. That's a joke, right?
Right. And, no, it's not. You know, he said this. He's telling people this, that God has at times, when he's gone and he's asked God Today he was talking about how he wanted this jet, $54 million jet. It was $54 million, yeah. He wanted this jet, and that God says, you're going to come up here with me. I'm going to bring you up high. I'm going to raise you up here with me. And I'm going to get you. I'm going to give you that jet. And he says, "Well, how am I going to pay for that jet?" And God told him. He said, "I didn't tell you you were going to have to pray. I didn't mention that, did I? Don't worry about it. See, this is, you know, and these people like Kevin Copeland is another one talking about." He made his first billion, and now he's coming up on his second billion. Now, you notice something about all of these prosperity preachers. The main point of their conversation always has to do with them before it does with God. Yeah. It's always about what God is giving them.
And what God wants to give all of you out there that I'm preaching to, that he wants you to have everything now. Not anything about service, you know, obedience, but it's all about God. Like, God is the great gift giver.
That's T.D. Jakes.
Dole out the gift to everybody.
Yeah, T.D. Jakes is the guy that always says, I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait to get to heaven. I want it now. And Joe Olsteen says, live the good life now. Live the best, your best life right now. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says, place up your treasures now? Or does he say, place them up in heaven?
Place them up in heaven.
So do you think maybe Joe Olsteen and T.D. Jakes may think that this is as good as it's going to get for them right here and now?
Well, in my opinion, it's as good as it's going to get for them. And they're going to be wishing they didn't have it so good here now.
So when the Lord Jesus was referred to, why do the wealthy seem to prosper? And he says that, what, because of God's merciful, that this is as good as it's going to get for him. He allows them a little mercy for a short period, a little pleasure for a short season, This is as good as it's going to get for him, huh?
It is, because life on this earth compared to the hereafter is what, it's like a vapor.
Yep.
Pretty short compared to eternity.
Okay, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So were they doing these wonderful, wonderful works, supposedly, for God's sake or for their own sake?
For their own sake.
And so...
they're doing these things for their popularity, their prestige, their money, you know, their status. They're not doing it to serve God. You know, Scripture tells us don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing when it comes to giving and good deeds. We're to do them because this is what God has commanded us to do. Love your neighbor. And he said, as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me, not unto you. We're not to do it unto ourselves. We're to do it for Jesus.
So he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Is he talking about building a construction, you know, going out and building, finding a huge rock someplace up on inside of a mountain and building a house upon that? Or is there another meaning here?
Another meaning, Jesus is the rock. The God was the rock of Israel. Jesus is the rock, the cornerstone that the church is built upon. And if we remember, the real definition of the church is we are lively stones, God said, living stones that are built upon what? The cornerstone, the rock, which is Christ. We build a living church, and that living church is to worship and serve a living, risen Lord. So that rock is Jesus, and those of us that have our life based on him, the storm will not destroy us.
All right, so here Jesus said here that when he said, and the rain descended upon it, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. This is the house that's built upon sand.
Right, all the turmoils of life.
Okay, so now, here, is he referring, if we take a look at that, when he says here in the beginning that those that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, how would that compare with the religious scholars, the scribes and the Pharisees, and building their house upon traditions and...
traditions of men, which were not to do.
Okay, so here...
Everything is to be on the gospel of Jesus Christ, not on the vain traditions of men. And that's what, unfortunately, too many churches are full of dogma. And that's traditions and thinking of men, not upon the doctrine, the word of Christ.
So when we take a look at some of the dogmas and the traditions of men today, what would be some good examples of those that are definitely not taught in the Bible?
Oh, there's all kinds of things. If you look, especially the Episcopal Church and the Roman Catholic Church, they have all their catechism, they have their hierarchy, they have just so many things that they do that really aren't, that were set up by men, not in Scripture.
All right. For example, you have the Episcopal priest, the Catholic priest. Is the office of the priesthood, is that for today, or did that end?
That ended.
When the veil was rent at Calvary?
Jesus is the high priest, and we now have the high priest through the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. We have a direct contact through Jesus through that Holy Spirit. We don't need to go through a high priest. He dwells in us. That's as close as you can get.
So how many high priests are there today?
One.
So there's only one high priest. So when the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and then before that you'd have to go to the priest with your sacrifice, and then he would offer it up. But today we go directly, if we're saved, we have one high priest, and then we are a nation, a royal priesthood.
Right.
So we go directly to the Father in prayer, right?
Right.
And the Lord Jesus told us to do that, didn't he?
He definitely did. In fact, way back where in verse 21, it was said, "He that doeth the will of my Father." I was thinking God made it kind of say, he gave us the Ten Commandments, but basically he summed it up. He said, "Be ye a doer of the work, be a doer of the word, be a doer of the law, and do the will of my Father," which is explained all through the New Testament. Go and do likewise, Jesus said. Go and teach and preach and give the salvation message and help the sick and the poor. All the things he did, he tells us, are his commandments, not just the ten. He gives us many commandments that he wants us to be doing.
Then he says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Did he have authority?
He had the ultimate kingdom authority because he wrote the law. He wrote the gospel. He is the creator. So, yes, you can't get any more authority than that.
So when he was often correcting the scribes and the Pharisees, when they would try to quote the law to him, he was the one that gave the law.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knew the intent of the law, didn't he?
He definitely did. He knew it far better than they ever would and understood its true meanings, where many times they just had a cursory understanding. They did not have the depth or knowledge that God has, so they couldn't come close to understanding sometimes what he really meant.
All right. We're going to, there's a fellow, a state representative in Virginia. His name is Representative Nick Freitas. Now, Nick, what we need is we need more. Just think about this. If every state representative around this country, all of them had people like him, we wouldn't have had, the voter fraud would never, we never would have gotten away with all the election fraud they got away with, but they really didn't get away with it. It's going to catch up to them, but, because we're still exposing this, but, you know, this the tactics of the Antichrist Democratic Party, anytime you agree with any of them, and those in the fake news media, I was listening to them again today, I believe it was NBC, lying about President Trump, just telling another great big outrageous lie on Trump. But anyhow, I want you to listen to this fellow, because he lets the Democrats know just where he's coming from. So are you ready, Mighty Andrew?
Yes, I am.
Take her away.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was asked by a colleague of mine on the other side of aisle, someone I actually deeply respect, and she asked me, was I going to be nice this session? And I thought it was an interesting question. I don't particularly think of myself as an unnice person, but I can see how sometimes people would see that differently. But you know what I've never done, Mr. Speaker? I've never got on this floor, and I've challenged the faith of an elected official because I disagreed with them on policy. I've never gone on this floor, Mr. Speaker, and suggested that the other side of the aisle were racist because they didn't agree with my particular policy positions. I've never suggested they were sexist because they didn't agree with my particular policy positions. But I'm keeping a running tally so far of this session. We're not very far into it. And almost every day, someone on the other side of the aisle either gets up and either subtly or comes right out and suggests that if you don't agree with them on policy, well, then you're not a Christian. You're a sexist. You're a bigot. You're a racist. But the moment someone actually stands up and says, wait a second, no, I'm not going to accept that. If you want to debate me on the merits of our particular policies, I am happy to have that discussion. But the moment you claim, with no evidence other than we don't agree on a particular policy position, the moment you claim that that makes us racist or sexist or bigoted, Mr. Speaker, I've got news. This was tried during the election cycle. You had a lot of parents coming to their local elected officials asking questions about what was going on in their schools. And the initial response was, oh, it's not there. And then when they saw evidence that it was, based off of what their kids were coming home and saying to them, and they went back and reissued the concern, then they got told, oh, well, then you must be a racist. Because that has been the repeated narrative coming from certain members of the other side of the aisle. And there's been a lot of times where we've sat here politely and just took it. Mr. Speaker, not this time. I'm tired of it. My constituents are tired of it. Because when these claims are made, they're not just made against Governor Youngkin. They're not just made against us. They're made in part against the people that elected to send us here. And I don't know a single person in this chamber that I would define as racist or sexist or bigoted. We have very different ideas about how to get to particular end states where all Virginians can be happy, healthy, prosperous, and free. But just so I'm very clear, will I be nice this session? I would certainly like to be, but I'm not about to sit here and listen to that, Mr. Speaker. And then go home to my constituents and have them ask me, why didn't you stand up and defend us? So let's have a robust policy discussion. But if you're going to question the faith or the intentions of anybody that happens to disagree with you on policy, then you don't get to lecture us on compassion, tolerance, or an open debate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. That's the kind of men we need. We need those men.
Indubitably.
And we do have some. We have a few. But you know where we need those kind of men mostly, Joe? In pulpits, Joe, in pulpits. That's where we need. We need that courage there. That's where, see, if the courage were there, if we had the Black Robe Regiment back, we would not have over 100 million dead babies. We would not have sodomites. We would not have the communists, the Antichrist, Democratic Communist Party in power today.
Right.
If the pastors had had courage. Well, anyhow, remember what when we told you, I was telling you about the billions? You've heard the term insult to injury?
Oh, certainly have.
Well, you know, you know that...
It's kind of like rubbing salt in the wound. There are several things that come to mind there. Bring the same point.
When you have... Okay, I'm looking at something right now, and I'm going to just tell you what it is here. Okay, this is... And that's not it. The article that I'm looking for here was... I'm trying to pull it up. But here, Biden has practiced that we were promised that we're going to get these test kits, right? These test kits to test. So he spent $2 billion, and he ordered all these test kits. And when people opened them up, they found out that they were from China, Joe.
Well, of course.
They spent that money in China, Joe. Now, where does the China virus come from, Joe?
It comes from China, Wuhan lab, actually. We know where it came from.
Who made Joe Biden rich?
China. $31 million to the Biden family spread out.
Well, that $31 million, believe me, it's a lot more than that, Joe. It's, you know, they figure that the actual amount of money that went to the Biden crime cartel was over $1 billion.
Right, that's the figure, but 31 million is what Schweitzer and some of those people have actual proof they can document.
Yeah. And so here now...
More to come, folks.
Oh, yeah, there is. And Durham, it looks like possibly, you know, because we're not used to anything being legitimate nowadays, but it looks like possibly that Durham is actually... going on a legitimate investigation, because now he's caught some other, those in the so-called Justice Department, lying.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, the trail leads right to old Hillary. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Hillary and the Democratic Party.
The Democratic Communist Collective, right.
Right.
And so wouldn't that be something if we actually... had a legitimate investigation nowadays. Now,
which kind of leads, we've been talking about all this election fraud, how they've hidden it and lied, and we've done story after story, different states are catching on. Well, the Democrats themselves are now proving the election was stolen. They unveiled today a potential reform to the Electoral Count Act, which includes changing who presides over Congress, certification of election results, how much support is necessary for an objection to be heard, and how an objection can be sustained. And they have a bipartisan group, right, led by Angus King, Dick Durbin, Amy Klobuchar, right, I can't, bipartisan, yeah, it's not bipartisan. And they are trying to change things because we were right about the election, that Pence had the right, the authority to question and put a hold on thing, and that the congressman could speak up and challenge for a state. All the things that we told the folks on the radio, they are trying to change. So if all those things were illegal, they wouldn't be changing them, would they?
No, they're not, right. But you have to understand. Look, I am saying this, and I've said it before, and you know, all of the things we've told people in the past, right? Like, for example, Joe, guess who they found out has been holding back all of the video on the January 6th thing, Joe? They found out who's holding that back. Do you know who it is, Joe?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do. It's the same person who's in charge of the Capitol Police, and her name is
Nasty.
Pelosi. Nasty Pelosi.
Right. Now, who did we say it was when back when this happened a year ago? We were told you, who was in charge of this. Now, Joe, let me ask you this. Are you and I, do we have some super ability or some, you know, inside information like Nancy Pelosi does on inside trading?
No.
Or do we get the same type of sources that those in the fake news media have? Now, why is it, Joe, that we bring the stories right out to the people, but it takes them so much longer to find out? And then when they do, it has a whole different spin on it than when we bring it out to them.
Well, we have common sense, and also we work for a boss who tells us that we must tell the truth. We are the watchman on the wall, therefore we have to warn the people when cheating, lying, deceit, things that are going to harm them, their families, their children, as because we know the enemy. That's the first thing you learn in the military, know your enemy. And we know Satan is behind, the father of all lies, so we know the truth and the falsehood. And there is a lot of falsehood and very little truth out there.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Today, if I was to say to you, Joe, can you show me one actual journalist at NBC, ABC, CBS, PMSNBC, or CNN? Can you show me one actual journalist?
No, they're not left. There were a couple that tried to tell the truth, and they got relieved from their jobs, and I don't know what they're doing. So, no, I can't think of one.
Now, Joe, with what is taking place, we're going to play a clip here when we come to the top of the hour. When we come out of that, we'll play a clip, and it shows you what we've been telling people, but we're going to show it again and repeat this because every time we do that, there's some people that, even though we've been talking about this for decades, are hearing it for the first time. And so, and it's about, you know, it's going to be about how the opposition infiltrate, how they infiltrate into governments around the world, and how they use this, how they take over, and how they're parasitical. And so we're going to play this again.
All right.
But when we do that, not right now, Joe, but when we do that, I want people to bear in mind and remember that when you turn on channel NBC, ABC, CBS, and those talking heads are there, you have to understand that they're your enemy. Those people there, they are lying to you. And you say, well, they don't seem like bad people. Well, they are bad people. They are bad. They're very bad because these people are, well, they're contracted.
They're getting more belligerent. They're getting more angry. They're getting more nasty, sarcastic. So I think people are starting to see a lot of the ones that I'm seeing now are coming out. They're just being very bold in their hatred, their attitude, and I think they can't hide anymore.
Well, they're contracted to lie, and we're going to keep saying this because, you know, some of the things, the terms that we use, for example, we talk about the Democratic Party, okay, or the Democratic mob, if you will. I get letters now all the time, and people now are referring to them out there as Democrats because they are Democrats. Their policy is about death. They're about death, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's killing elderly off in the nursing homes, it's whether they're killing people, depopulating the planet with bioweapons, but the whole party is about death. It's about death and death and more death. Okay, and that's a reality. And so, but now people are more and more referring to that as deathocrats. And so now here are some other things that are happening. You see Trudeau, he ran and hid someplace. He wasn't, and he was hiding because you had over 50,000 trucks. And some say that the number actually got up to 70,000. And Trudeau ran and he hid.
And the mounted police made threats. Yeah. But so far, they're still there. I've watched a video of the truckers were out praying, saying the Lord's Prayer, turning things over, putting them in the hands of God. Of what happens, they all voted to stay, even if they're arrested, even if their trucks are confiscated. The last I heard, they were praying and letting God be in charge.
Well, Trudeau is an antichrist. He is an. He says he supports good causes like burn, loot, and murder. Of course, he calls them
truckers who haven't broken a single law, other than tying up some traffic. They haven't threatened anybody, beat anybody up, burned anything down, destroyed anything. They're terrible people. But you're right, burn, loot, and murder, good people.
And Trudeau made it very clear that he wants to outlaw Christianity in Canada.
Yeah.
And so
those truckers praying, that had to be adding insult to injury for him, too.
As he was hiding.
Yeah, as he was in hiding, afraid to come out and talk to them, see what their demands are, try and work something out with them. No, had to run and hide, leave the Capitol. Now, that's pretty bad when you've got the Capitol Police there and the city police, everybody to protect you. You still have to run to an undisclosed location and hide. That's pretty, we have a word for it out in the country, but I can't use it on the radio.
Yeah.
Has something to do with chickens.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, here's, we talked about adding insult to injury. You know, Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa says that Joe Biden is compounding the tragedy of the bungled U.S. withdrawal. It wasn't, in my opinion, bungled. He did this to say in your face, to hurt, to destroy and weaken American, the resolve to destroy and weaken and to empower our enemies against us. Joe Biden is not on our side. He is not on the side of the American patriots, just like Barack Obama was not. And he says, bungled the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan by approving unspecified amounts of U.S. foreign aid for endangered species programs through the Taliban terrorist networks that now control the war-torn county. How many of those Taliban have they caught sneaking in here, coming in, because we no longer have a southern border? After ordering a hasty and disastrous retreat from Afghanistan last August, the Biden regime has now authorized the flow of U.S. tax dollars back into the country through the Taliban terrorist network, Ernst said in a January 25 statement. Among the activities the tax dollars are intended to support is the preservation and protection of threatened endangered species. Those are called Christians, huh?
Yeah, well, the people are starving to death. The economy is in the worst shape it's ever been and that we know of. And he's trying to protect the environment. Well, babies don't have food. Women and children are dying. And they're killing anybody that helped the Americans. They're raping the women. And he's going to protect what?
Well, there's four different species of plants and one species of salamander and one species of insect in Afghanistan that they're trying to protect.
Right, and they have to grow poppies to protect the insect and the whatnot. And the poppy fields will do the job nicely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'm sure that somehow there's a connection.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be hearing any of this on NBC, ABC, or CBS, do you?
No. Well, we've got some more news here after the break that they're not going to be hearing either.
You know, in France, Macron, who is another antichrist, and you'll hear his name mentioned in this DVD that we play, or this segment that we're going to play, I should have said. Macron says that unvaccinated French citizens are no longer welcomed in his country. Now, who do you think the country belongs to, the citizens or Macron?
He's the one who runs it. It's his country.
Oh, well.
Don't you know that? I mean, it belongs to him, doesn't it? The way he talks, I assume.
Well, it must be, because he says that it's okay for the Muslims to go unvaccinated. They don't have to get vaccinated. They have special rights, but the French citizens
have
will either or leave.
Yeah. They have to leave. The Muslims, the outsiders can stay.
Yeah. Now, here just recently, we just had, it was just on the news yesterday that one of our border agents, one of our ICE agents had needed to get life flighted or flown, it was back home where he could get some treatment. And the government refused, Biden regime refused to pay for it. At the same time, they're flying illegal aliens anywhere they want to go.
I don't think I can take much more of this good news.
Yeah. Well,
these people are just totally, totally crooked. They are evil. They are wicked. They are working for their master, Satan. And they're going to get rewarded by Satan. It certainly isn't going to be by God.
Hordes of local pharmacies are shutting down in major cities all over the nation. And it isn't because of the economy. Sadly, because shoplifting has become so rampant in places such as New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Large cities are determining that it is no longer profitable to do business in many communities. If I was in their shoes, I would probably be doing the same thing, thanks to politicians that are extremely soft on crime. Professional looters are going hog wild, and in many cases, security guards are instructed to simply stand aside and let them take whatever they want. The other day, actor Michael Rapaport literally watched a professional looter fill up his bags as he roamed through a drugstore. Rapaport was absolutely furious because he depends on the local Rite Aid pharmacy for his mood stabilizers. And I don't think that we want to see Michael Rapaport with his mood stabilizers. After the looter completed the job filling up his bag, Rapaport filmed him as he walked right past the security guard and out of the store. But this is not where the story ends, Joe. On Sunday, Rapaport went back to his local Rite Aid and discovered that it would soon be closing down because everybody stole everything. So here, now let me just say this, Joe. There's a reason that George Soros bought these prostitutors. They call them prosecutors. They're prostitutes. They're whores. There's a reason that George Soros went out whore shopping and bought all these whores, and he put these whores in office, like the one in New York City. Who, if you heard, when these two police officers were murdered, and the wife of one of them said, "I hope you're listening to me," talking about the prostitute there. So here now, there's a reason that Soros went out and bought these whores and placed them there, and so that they would be very soft on the criminals. They're trying to align themselves, and that they want to make sure that they have a good supply of those that are willing. When they say, "All right, we've got to stop elections. We can't have free elections. We're going to burn down some cities. All right, you guys, you felons, you rapists, you murderers. You know, we helped you out. Now, you know who you're working for." That's the mindset that's going on there. The Democratic Communist Party is a corrupt party. Joe, I don't think that there's one. I don't think that there's one Democratic congressman that is not corrupt. I don't think there's one. Not one. What do you think?
No, I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't. I'm looking at a story this week. Schools across America are implementing the Black Lives Matter Week of Action. And the main thing they're calling for is the disruption of Western nuclear family. Think about that. They are calling at schools all across, from Washington State to Massachusetts, bringing in this activist-based curriculum that's bringing up these ideas. They have four big groups, national demands of, funding counselors, not cops, mandating black history, mandating ethnic studies, and the bringing in the concept of the black village. Now, the black village is the disruption of the regular family. It's a return to the collective village that takes care of each other. The starter kit reads, globalization. Look, here's the key. Is our ability to see how we're impacted or privileged within the black global family that exists across the world in different regions. They're bringing in globalism. Folks, this is, I've got the list of their 13 principles that BLM, Black Lives Matter, follows, and it's basically a following of the Communist Manifesto. This first thing, disruption of the family, that's what's wrong right now with the inner cities. They are no families, fathers in the home, no family units for stability. We know that a married couple has a higher income, higher education level. The children are better off. There's always an exception. There's a good single parent, there has to be. But this idea is a communist idea where the government is the father and the mother and controls society. This is nothing but trying to break down the inner cities. And the example, perfect example in Baltimore, it just came out that they had a reading test. Out of 628 high school students, 484 of them, that's 77%, tested at an elementary school level of reading. 88 were first grade level of reading. 71 could only read at a kindergarten level. 45 could only read at a second grade level. And there are only 12 students out of 628 who could read at grade level. That's like 1.9%. They have illiterate children in the school. If you have illiterate children, there is no future for those children. If there's no future for the children, there's no future for the inner city of Baltimore. And if we see this happening across from Philadelphia, all across L.A., you name these big cities, Atlanta, there's not much of a future for any of the cities in half of the country. What this is they're destroying the children, they're destroying the family, so that the government will become the parent and be in control. The Democrats want to control America, turn us into a one-world society, communist-type collective nation. That is the truth of what's going on, and we have to stop it.
Well, here you go, Joe. Tonight when we had the Tea Party meeting tonight, it was exuberant. There were a lot of people there. It was a full house. And there was a lot of energy tonight at that Tea Party. And, of course, they asked me to open. I'm the official chaplain there. So I opened in prayer, and I asked them, are you ready to fight? And everybody, yes, everybody was ready to fight. And one of the things that they talked about is homeschooling.
Schooling.
That was one of, they were talking about, so we're coming up to a break, and once we come back from the break, I want to pick it up right here and talk about some of what took place at the Tea Party meeting tonight.
Because I've got some more to add after you're done.
All righty, so hang tight, folks. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. There's more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice
of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.